welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, in the United States of America, but the man that you're looking there on the left-hand side of your screen, well, that's not Mr. David Paxton, but instead, that is Mr. Mark Sutherland. He's coming from us all the way from the United Kingdom. You've seen him before. He is our Israeli and U.K., and, well, he's just your run-of-the-mill 100% verified expert. Mark, I am so glad to have you come back on today. Thank you so much, and welcome again to the Last Christian.
JD, thank you for having me. It's a delight to be here. I miss David. David's having a very nice time, I hope. So, yeah. So reach out to him on that. But JD, yeah. Wonderful to join you at, I think, a very, very, very important hour, my friend.
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I say this a lot, but it's the honest-to-goodness truth, and that is that things are speeding up each and every day. We're going faster and faster, exactly the way that the Bible said would happen in the latter days. And so I want to very briefly here show everybody what we're going to talk about today. And everybody's going to be surprised, Mark, because usually I got this loaded. And instead, we're going to do the weekend review is going to take place so fast that you guys, if you blink, you may miss it. And after that, we're going to get into Mark Sutherland's Middle East report, because Mark is fresh back from his trip to the Middle East. We did not give you guys a heads up that he was going there, and that is for his safety, for security reasons. We wanted to make sure that that he was safe during his visit. He was in touch with us the entire time, and now we're going to be able to take the benefit of all that, and I believe present everybody with a great show. So really quick, Mark, I'm going to give everybody the weekend review here, and we'll get it out of the way. First of all, you got your global conflicts and diplomacy. Here we got the Russian-Ukraine peace talks. They have resumed as of May the 16th. Russia and the Ukraine had held their first direct peace talk since 2022. That took place in Istanbul, Turkey. The meeting resulted in an agreement to exchange 1,000 prisoners of war each. That's the largest swap since the conflict began. Now, the Ukraine did propose a 30-day ceasefire, which Russia rejected, maintaining the demands that included significant infringement, as they call it, on Ukrainian sovereignty. In other words, Russia wants certain parts of the Ukraine for themselves. It's kind of like a buffer zone to help out. Now, and Mark has some comments here in just a moment about that as well. The Ukraine has criticized Moscow for sending low-level delegation and called for future leader-level summit. Western leaders, including those from the UK, France, Germany, and Poland, held a joint call with U.S. President Donald Trump, aligning on the view that Russia's stance was unacceptable and suggesting coordinated sanctions if Moscow resisted the ceasefire. I'm just going to mention it very quickly. You got India and Pakistan, two nuclear powers. They have not gotten along since their countries were actually established. So that no surprise there. We just want to make sure that the nuclear situation stays unused, should we say that like that. Now, I know that you had some insight there, Mark, as far as what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. We spoke about it a little bit before the show started, but I want you to go ahead and let the audience know. You've got the insight there.
In discussions with a dear friend of mine, Carl Tigrip, who is someone we need to get on the show, who is, I think, one of the best, if not the best researcher that we have in the world with various things he has been attending over the last 30, 35 years, he made a very important point to me about the negotiations that are going on between Russia and the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you are aware of the push by NATO, that the issue is this. Potentially from a ceasefire, then it gives time for the Ukraine to then say, right, this is why they've been pushing for NATO membership, because then a clause comes in where NATO then has to defend a state that is part of the NATO Union.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things that we've got to be praying about and to be aware of. And in many ways, we can discuss, of course, geopolitics until all the cattle has actually come home to the farm.
Right.
But the issue is this: through all our conversation, we have got to remember that God is in control and that biblical prophecy is unfolding as well.
Mm.
And there is this whole thing of the hegemony. Is America in charge? Is while Russia and China and the other BRICS nations are pushing because they want a bipolar world. They want a position up front equal to what we've always viewed as traditional American hegemony, e.g. America being number one, the West, etc. So this is something to really, really pray about and to keep aware of what's going on. And NATO, believe it or not, will be having a meeting in Dayton, Ohio, very, very shortly. And it's to pray about that, if any Christians in that area, to be aware of these kind of meetings go on. It's a bit like Chatham House meetings on this side of the pond, where it's geopolitical. We talk about Ephesians 6, talks about we're not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And these are principalities and powers doing their thing.
Well, I'm interested in your personal perspective there from the United Kingdom, because when the Soviet Union came to an end, and again, for those of you that have been with us for a while, you understand we've talked about this before, but I know we got a lot of new viewers and listeners out there. Part of the reason that the Soviet Union allowed the wall in Berlin to come down was that they were given assurances by the Reagan administration that the Ukraine would never be a part of NATO. It was extremely important to them that was there. That was their red line. That was, not in sand, but in concrete. You know, we cannot allow that. It would be the equivalent here in the United States of Mexico all of a sudden becoming a member of the Soviet Union, being a part of BRICS, the new thing there, with nuclear weapons pointed at the United States. We would find that completely unacceptable. That would be a line in concrete. And I'm wondering, is that understood in the United Kingdom? Is that understood in Europe? And do you agree that that was part of it, and part of the reason why Putin actually attacked in the first place was to make sure that they were that Ukraine would not become a part of NATO? Sorry for the long-winded question.
Not at all. I have to say to you, I hold the same belief, even if that gets challenged, because we promise not to expand NATO, as you say, right up to the borders of Russia. As dear Trevor Loudon, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and just to say, Trevor wrote this kind of book, The Enemies Within.
Okay,
and he's also written another book, Enemies Within, in regard to, with a focus on Obama. Trevor said to me, well, where's the proof of that, Mark? Could you find the proof of that? And I thought, this is really interesting. Now, also at that time, Germany, the Chancellor of Germany, was talking about the reunification of East, East and West.
Right.
And this whole thing of the negotiations. Then you go to 2014, the Minsk Agreement, again, not promising to expand, etc., etc. we have to really look at this subject because, as I mentioned, Ephesians 6, we look at people like Gorbachev through rose-tinted glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that spiritually, the wall of communism came down, but it has actually spread, that virus has spread to the West.
Mm-hmm.
In so many different forms. And you and I remember Reagan going, you know, Mr. Gorbachev, break down this wall, etc., etc.
Right.
You remember that. I've always thought that that was in the mix. I agree with you. I agree with you, JD. The other thing to remember right now, it seems that the British Prime Minister, all he wants to do is to push, like with other European leaders, to push for a war with Russia. Mm. I mean, it's completely and utterly nuts.
Insane.
However, and I can't answer this right now, what play does that have in regard to biblical prophecy and the end times?
Mm-hmm.
If we say, would countries, Putin, Russia, we know that at a certain point, many, many countries will be dragged and facing mm-hmm. Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Putin, Crimea, etc., the fact that you've got Russian speaking on the border from the Ukraine on the Russian border there, they were being persecuted. Hence, this is certain sort of agreement of why Putin went in. There's also biolabs, as Victoria Nuland admitted in a conversation with Rubio. That's all out there publicly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But to get to pin down, to find out what NATO agreed, that I think is the key thing. We need to have that piece of paper. And of course, the North Atlantic, you know, alliance then is supposed to be defensive, not offensive. And I think of the abuse of that in regard to the bombing in Yugoslavia, the abuse of that in regard to Libya. Mm-hmm. These are huge. The ramifications of those are huge, and I would even say they go back, you know, many, many years. And that's when I always link up. We're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting principalities and powers.
Amen.
And we've got to be aware of that to the best of our ability.
Yeah, I totally agree with that for sure. Now, Israel. I'm not going to delay you guys. You know, I mean, if we got time to put in the other news thing, fine. If we don't, fine, because I got Mark here, and I want this to really function around Israel. So what I'm going to do here now, Mark, is say, okay, we kind of get what's going on with Russia and with NATO and all that, but how do you think that affects Israel? Can you kind of bring it into context there as to what Israel would think of an agreement, NATO yes, NATO no, or do they even care?
Well, I mean, they care about all of that, because Russia backing, with China backing Assad in Syria during that civil war, etc. Mm-hmm. All of that region, of course, without saying the obvious, it's all on their doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to take it in certain directions because I think this is really important.
You go ahead.
And the other thing is, and I would say to people, and I watch other people's shows and all the rest, this is really important because we're gathering information. So I just want to give a big shout out to a fantastic YouTube program, which is the Israel Guys.
Okay.
And their last one, because we're fully aware that Trump has been to the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Trump did not go to Israel.
Don't break your train of thought, but we're going to talk about that one for sure. Go ahead.
Because I think all of this is really relevant. So on the 7th, on the October 7th, 2023, we are fully aware of the appalling, unbelievable atrocities of Hamas, nearly 1,200 Israeli dead, all the disgusting things that went on there, which I'm not even going to talk about, but the fact, and many, many injured, and that is Hamas launching that, when you can easily argue with, you know, a good high percentage, 70% plus of the actual Gazan civilians then supporting that. Now, Hamas leaders were in Qatar. The leaders, very, very wealthy men, were in Qatar. Qatar is a huge, you know, they are supporting Hamas. Qatar finance Al Jazeera. There is a reason I need to say all of this. So suddenly Donald Trump goes out there. He has now got investment into America of various jobs, planes from etc. From Boeing, and we're talking trillions of dollars. Another deal of $600 billion. We're looking at Saudi, Qatar. Then the sanctions against Syria. He is saying they're going to be dropped, because he is then trying to draw Syria into the Abraham Accords. And I want to make a, statement here, and again, thank you to the fantastic Israel Guides podcast. This is really important. The leader, the present leader of Syria now, Giuliani, or I think that's his name. I do apologize if I've got that wrong. But this guy that was suddenly had $1 million on his head, plus he was, you know, fighting as a member of ISIS, etc., etc. Now he is wearing a suit. In the 67 war, when Israel was attacked by Jordan et al., in that war, his family were living in the Golan Heights. His family were living in the Golan Heights. Now, I don't know how old that particular gentleman is. Maybe he was born soon after it. But then his family were expelled from the Golan Heights. Now, if you then have been through something like that, you've also been fighting ISIS, you are then creating ISIS too. You've been unbelievable, appalling to the Alawite Christians on the southern coast there. You are then in, also in regard to the Druze as well. Does a leopard change his spots? Because within this situation, Trump then is trying to wrestle the hegemony away from Russia and away from China back to America. But of course, understandably, there are many, many Israelis that are turning around and going, well, hold on a minute, Qatar back Hamas. I'm not saying anything that is not out there publicly. We then, praise God, see another, we see an American hostage released, Edan Alexander, the young soldier released, which is fantastic news. We've seen the pictures of how their family, his family, are so pleased to have him back. Now, he was released quite quickly, and it looks like that that was a Qatarian decision. So if that's a Qatar decision, that means that Qatar could make sure, could have made sure that all the hostages were released from day one. It doesn't go beyond the realm of common sense to work that out. If you are then funding Columbia, Harvard, and all the other nonsense that's gone on the streets, if you are funding Al Jazeera, right, etc., because you are pushing your narrative, this is real. So we have to question when, if they want to give a plane, that is out there, that we have a plane to President Trump and all this. This is deeply, deeply questionable. This is very concerning for many Israelis. Now, the positive thing out of this is that Israel has then has got to is then starting to say within certain circles, we have got to stand, we want to stand on our own. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to stand on our own. Mm-hmm. And I say this very, you know, respectfully, because this is really important. Can we be reliant on America? Mm-hmm. Can we be reliant on the foreign policy issues that we are now seeing? Because here's the important thing biblically. Genesis 12 says, if you bless my people, I will bless you. If you curse my people, I will curse you.
Amen.
And President Trump's foreign policy mustn't step outside that. And if you step outside that, then there are consequences of that. Now, whatever people think of the political machinations that are going on in Israel, and it is, JD, it is complex. It mm-hmm. is complex. Mm-hmm. But having been to Jordan, having also been to Israel, and observing things, and observing by seeing a brave young men and women walking around in their uniforms and mm-hmm. uniting as a country to defend it. But this war has gone on far too long. They need to deal with this and deal with it quickly. Now that is not very popular to actually say mm-hmm. because, and Bibi Netanyahu many months ago got criticized by the left when he used the term Amalek, when he is referring to the enemy that mm-hmm. the scripture talks about, when God is saying, go into the land, deal with this people group, do what I ask you to do and take possession.
Right.
And to remind everyone, you know, Gaza was the attempt at a two-state solution. Mm. And when people say from the river to the sea, they are actually saying we wish to wipe out Israel. We wish
Completely.
To wipe out mm-hmm. the everyone that is absolutely living there. Mm-hmm. So there's a dichotomy here. There's mixed messages that are sending a few tremors of earthquakes through people, making certain people nervous, because President Trump comes in, the art of the deal man, as mm-hmm. other people have constantly said, and he is negotiating deals. He wants business. He wants to be able to sell American goods, etc., etc., mm-hmm. and have that money coming into America, because your debt is beyond it. It's so out of control.
Crazy.
And needs to come down. Now, at the same time, the most important thing is there are spiritual consequences mm-hmm. for every decision that each individual nation makes, including mm-hmm. my own, mm-hmm. which has been appalling. And I'll just say this, JD, we have in the last week and a half, it looks like we've agreed, we then giving £100 million of UK money, which we can't afford, to the Palestinian Authority.
Yeah.
Now let's just follow that. I am mm-hmm. appalled by this mm-hmm. because the Palestinian Authority, as much as they may want to deny it, they have a pay for slay. They have a pay for slay scheme in regard to slaying mm-hmm. Jews.
Right.
That is what they have. It's beyond appalling. And what that means is if someone does that, they will then be financially supported. They will have, a reward financially yeah. for mm-hmm. actually undertaking that disgusting act. So we've got all of this in the mix. The unity, of course there is disunity, but there is also so much unity within Israel. And yes, you've got the left. I witnessed the demonstrations outside in an area where Bibi Netanyahu lives. Mm-hmm. I witnessed those with my own eyes, where people You have stickers everywhere of very brave men and women who, young men who have died. I mean, we're talking 18 to 23 year olds, and of course we're talking older. But when when you see that, and they are the same age as your own children, or just your own children, just a bit older than that, it really does pull you up, and their bravery is off the charts. The Qatar have done such an incredible job in regard to propaganda, and some people may say, well, why are you using that word? It's true. It is, you have to hand it to them in regard to the propaganda, because what they've done, they have turned on the head, JD, of the appalling events. When we've just had a couple of days ago, or 2 days ago, we've just had a mother shot, mother died, as her husband is taking her to the hospital to give birth to a child, I think. They managed to save the child, but the mother's died, and the dear father is on life support, and hope, God willing, is going to recover. The other key thing about this, JD, is trying to step back and look at the facts, because we have a news cycle that wants an instant answer.
Right.
It is so important that we are being balanced. We're reporting the truth. This is what is so important, because on the other hand, there is a massive poster. I know, don't worry now, I know it's in some of the photographs that I've sent you, but there's a massive poster of Trump, of President Trump, with Mike Huckabee saying the most, you know, the most supportive president of Israel ever. It's down... it's not far from the American embassy. So there's all of these things. And I am saying this is making certain people very, very nervous, because the other thing is, it's pushing then the Abraham Accords.
I've got to cut you off, Mark. I hate to do it. I got to cut you off, but we are down here to the last few seconds of the first part of the show. Now, in the second half, we're really going to get into Mark's trip. He's going to continue what he's talking about, because it's important stuff. But you guys hang out, because the second half is going to be incredible. We'll be right back. Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. Mark Sutherland joining us all the way from the United Kingdom. Mark, I didn't really want to cut you off there in the first half. I don't know if you even remember what you were talking about, because we did have a couple of minutes here in between halves. But I want to let you give you an opportunity to finish your thought, and then we'll continue on with your recent trip.
Well, thank you. I'll tell you what, I'm going to get straight into reading some verses from Zechariah. I think this will be really, really important.
Amen.
So, the Lord's care for Jerusalem, and having just been to Jerusalem, mm-hmm. And spending a few days there, Zechariah 12, the burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit man within him. Behold, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. It will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone, but all the peoples who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. Now, the UN, the United Nations, mm-hmm. the country where they give an edict of, we're going to tell this country off, we're mm-hmm. going to come against this country the most, mm-hmm. is Israel, right?
Yes.
And absolutely. What is absolutely, and I've seen it with my own eyes as well, archaeology does not lie. Mm-hmm. I just repeat, archaeology does not lie.
Amen.
In 1948, the Jewish people are brought, well before that they started coming back to the land, but in 1948 it's official, mm-hmm. it's their country,
right?
So that's it. It is the historic indigenous spiritual homeland that we are talking about of 3,000-4,000 years. That's it. The archaeology proves it. Now, that doesn't go down very well, and especially when people are finding things, and when we go back and we discover that the UN, even President Obama, etc., etc., are trying to stop excavations and all this, because if those excavations come out, then it totally proves it. In 1967, after the Six-Day War, they took Jerusalem back for the first time in just over 2,500 years. Mm-hmm. That's what they did. That's what happened. Now, that the Dome on the Rock, Jordan, have responsibility for policing that after the Six-Day War. Now, whether that should have happened is another thing, because what the young people, as it was explained to me, what the young people are fighting, the young Israelis are fighting in regard to Gaza, is the complexity of the political situation. Hence why I've read those verses. It mm-hmm. will be, Jerusalem will be a stumbling block.
Yeah.
People mm-hmm. will reel, because that we believe, as Christians, we believe, you know, Jesus will return to the Mount of Olives, walk down there, walk through the Eastern Gate. That is where he is going to rule and reign from.
Amen.
And we see this spiritual battle, and it is spiritual, unless we understand that. And where you had that retreat in Gaza round about, I think, 2003-04, you had that where they eventually said, right, we are going to leave. They left beautiful land there. They left business opportunities and all the rest. Mm-hmm. And then Hamas comes in, whether they are voted in or whether they are imposed on the Palestinians, inverted commas. And then it takes off. And they rockets start firing in and all the rest. This is the reality. And now the reality is, JD, is that they have to deal with that. Now, the reason why I went out there with five other friends is to pray about this, is to prophetically, we know that all the nations are going to come against Israel. They're going to come against Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. It's not comfortable to say it, but the Bible speaks of this.
Amen.
And God will deal with that. Yep. Will deal with that. Yep. But it also goes on where the fleeing Jerusalem to a position of safety. And that's why I and my five other friends, we went to Petra in Jordan.
Okay, well, speaking of that, real quick, I'm going to put this up here. And I apologize to the audience. This is not Mark's fault. This is me. I've been very, very limited this week. I won't go into detail on that. But what you're going to see here, the photo there in the middle is what I want you concentrating on. I don't want you concentrating on anything else. But if you would, Mark, go ahead and tell them exactly where you are standing.
Well, that is what's called outside the treasury in Petra. So Petra, a society, a group of people, Nebatines, which is 300 years BC. And what is incredible about that and the other... There's other, there's an amphitheater, there's all sorts of other things built, you know, sort of carving out of architecture there, which is off the charts. And just to say, as someone explained to me,
Is that the same picture without you in the
same? Okay. That's the same building. Look, with the people in the foreground there, it gives you an opportunity to see how large that is.
Yeah, the magnitude.
When they carved and built that, they started at the top and work down
because of
the way the rock is formed. But what I will say that in Jordan, you know, there is of course you've got Mount Nebo, where I need to get this right, where Moses died. You've then got the second rock, which is not far from Petra itself. So you've got other places that say, right, this is biblical archaeology.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Jordan. Now, when we look at it from a biblical perspective, yes, and that's a dear friend of mine who came with me on the trip. We took out there as a wonderful cameraman and filmmaker.
I hope the audience understands. I am seeing these pictures really for the first time. Mm-hmm. And so, Mark, if I'm going too quickly, please let me know.
No. JD, keep going. Okay. This is really just flick through. It's just to give people a perspective of what was going on, what is going on within that civilization. And also within that civilization, where the previous picture was, if you keep going up the hill, up the rock face there, there is some sacrificial area. So this
okay,
is
that
the,
was the previous picture. Let me make sure I get this correct here. Is it this one?
Yeah, so that one, yeah. Okay. So as you would turn left and you keep walking up, you end up at a place where there was sacrifices that would go on. So
Do they have signage like that? And the reason I'm saying that is because I don't read Hebrew.
No. So. Well, this is now. Don't worry. This is now in Israel. So it's pointing to Jerusalem, the Dead Sea, and you see Bathsheba and Simon Jamon mentioned there.
Okay.
But yeah, no, keep going, JD. It just gives people an idea. Yeah. But it's the what amazes me is the barrenness of land.
And when, it was Mark Twain who said something. Absolutely. You know, something on the I don't remember the exact quote, but you know, never seen anything as desolate and basically as dead as anything he'd ever seen in his entire life. And in just a matter of a few years, God transformed that into one of the most beautiful areas on the face of the earth, you know, with, I mean, the growth of, you know, vegetation, and that sounds pitiful. But
absolutely. And when you have the privilege of going there and seeing it with your own eyes, and you begin to think that it could have, as it was pointed out to me, you know, when Moses, they're coming out of Egypt and going, right, we're going into the land. Mm-hmm. Basically, that should have been like 3 weeks, but they end up wandering around for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And when you're wandering, when you are going round in that kind of environment, which is barren, which is hot, that is, it really does hit you in regard to that. But also when you cross into the border and go into Israel, you're absolutely right, because you see this this blossoming. Beautiful. And and what is happening there.
Well, let me ask you this real quick before I forget it, because I think it's important that we get this into the show. We are conservatives. I'm not going to ask for any forgiveness for that. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of being a Christian. I'm proud of being able to say that I'm a Christian, and hopefully say something along the way that might lead somebody to open a Bible, and might lead them to Christ. I can't save you. I'm not a prophet. Neither is Mark. But we can do all we can to try and lead people to Christ, and that's what we try to do, and then we let the Holy Spirit take over. But the reason for all that rambling is because I feel like that President Donald Trump is perhaps the strongest president that I have ever seen in my life in regard to the state of Israel. Now, having said that, and I'll even say this. One of the main reasons that I have that position is because he is the only U.S. president that both promised and then delivered to take the capital of Israel and designate that in Jerusalem from Tel Aviv. That was huge.
Now, you mean in regard to the American embassy?
Correct. Yeah. Right. I'm sorry if that came across incorrectly there. But yes, to move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, which is the capital of Israel. The true capital of Israel is in Jerusalem. Now, having said that, Mark, I'm also a bit disappointed in some of the activities of President Trump over the past week or so. And I want you to, I'm not going to take the time on it, I want you to elaborate on that a little bit and what you're seeing there, what you're feeling as far as that goes. And also, is this a precursor to what you were talking about, that all nations, and when you say all, you've got to include that one that says USA, that, you know, all nations will turn their back. So I'm just going to let you go, and then if you see a picture pop up that you want to stop on, you let me know.
No worries. I mean, Truman, President Truman, all those years ago, you know, the first one to then recognize Israel against the his advisors in the State Department. Russia then piled in. Russia traditionally, you know, it always thought that it was going to have a socialist outpost in the Middle East. And then my own understanding of this is Ben Gurion says, we're going to run our country on democratic lines. Mm-hmm. That's actually Galilee.
Okay.
So, which is beautiful. Yeah, that's Galilee. But JD, it's the divisions politically. I would say within Israel, I would say that you know, the vast majority of people are united. You are fully aware before the 7th of October. And it's one of the reasons why Hamas, Sinwar said, who's now, of course, dead, and God willing, so is his brother after them bombing a certain part, to bring that about. He turned around and said, look, we were looking at the divisions in Israel, especially when Bibi Netanyahu turned around and said, we need some reform in regard to the judiciary, and now you're coming into the old city of Jerusalem. But JD, the reason why they're going on then, the reform of the judges, and this is what's really important, as was pointed out to me, it doesn't need reform, it needs complete rescuing. Amen. Because what you've got a deep state there, you've got a political elite who want to run the country. And if Bibi Netanyahu turns around and says, well, the head of the Shin Bet I wish to sack, and then judges turn around and say, you can't do that. We've discussed this before, when you are in the land, talking to people and hearing it from the sort of the horse's mouth, so to speak, it makes it even more powerful, because as Golda Meir says, if the Arabs put down their guns, there'd be peace. If we put down our guns, we won't, basically paraphrasing, we won't be here. Right. There'd be complete and utter annihilation. And the point is, it's now, that's from the picture taken from the Mount of Olives. But it's now time, JD, this is my opinion, for them to really, really step up and say, no, we're not, of course, as they say, we're not going anywhere. When you have been round Yad Vashem, which is the incredible memorial to the Holocaust and what happens, and it goes through. I mean, I've been to Auschwitz personally many years ago in 1986 in Poland. And when you then go round Yad Vashem, like I did a few days ago, and you see the whole European history and see that, you know, the way there were so many camps, the way this is again reminded of how this was organized. And this is the hall of names, which is naming all the people there in regard to the deaths and the destruction in the Holocaust. As was pointed out to me, JD, that actually that number would be far more, as a dear friend said to me as a comment, that'd be far more than 6 million, maybe even up to 10 million. But the problem is, it was then proving the other additional 4 million. So people then say, we're going to stick with this number because we can then prove that. Now, Holocaust denial by some people is a reality.
Yeah, sadly. Don't come off of that. But what I want to interject here, because this is of extreme importance, is that Dwight D. Eisenhower was the general who went in there into these camps and was able to, you know, get the Jewish people out of there. They're basically walking skeletons. And he made a point of making certain that the photographs were taken, because he said at some point in time, people were going to say that this never happened, and I want it documented. Well, all right, he documented it. And even with that documentation, Mark, they still deny that the Holocaust happened, and we know it did. And so for those of you that are living over there in that area of the world who have been given that propaganda for years, yes, there was a Holocaust, and yes, Israel said it's never going to happen again, and that is a big reason for the response from October 7. If you looked at that from a percentage of population instead of anything else, you'd find out there's a large percentage of the Jewish nation was killed in one day, much bigger than the 9/11 attack here in the United States, much bigger than that. And that's the reason, of course, for the reason that Netanyahu declared war immediately, similar to the way that we did in World War II after being hit at Pearl Harbor.
Here's a very, very important point, because suddenly there were various telegram groups created, or social media groups, and then suddenly all of these came alive just before that complete act of barbarity that happened on the 7th of October. They all came alive, and then suddenly there are people protesting outside the Israeli embassy in regard to not retaliating and not going in there. So many people knew. They all knew that this was going to happen. That's why, JD, and I'll say it again, that it's very difficult to come to terms with the fact that President Trump has then gone and had a conversation with the Qataris. I've said this publicly in regard to Witkoff, this negotiation people need to look at, bear in mind what his own personal links are with the Qataris, etc.
Now, I want to get into that. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've been trying to bring this up on several shows and I always forget. I'm not sold on this Witkoff guy. Now, maybe you can sell me on him, okay? But I'm not sold on him. I think he is I think here in Texas we call it being a lightweight. And I'm that's kind of how I view him. I think he's taking people at their word that he doesn't need to be taking at their word. These are, in many cases, professional liars, and he is buying it hook, line, and sinker, and I don't think that that's doing us any good. Am I wrong, or what's the perspective there?
No, I don't believe you're wrong. I think within my own understanding within the Middle East is that they respect the strong man.
Right.
That's it, period. Mm-hmm. And you've got to play, hardball.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to play strong within that region. So in other words, from the West, if we think we're making a deal and shaking hands and that's it and everyone's smiling, that is not necessarily the case, JD, because they would then go back on that deal. In the past, just quickly, when Yasser Arafat would talk, he is then talking to us in the West in one particular way, but then addressing historical battles, etc., within the Islamic world to say, well, I'm going to speak out of both sides of my mouth. That's as much as that is profoundly uncomfortable. That's the truth of it. But you are now showing real estate. This is the real estate that is being and will be a stumbling block to the nations.
Right.
This is God's city.
Yes.
Now, there'll be a load of people that would be deeply critical of me because of saying that, because they are into replacement theology, and one thing we are commanded to do is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel. We are to do that. Now, does that mean that we may does that mean that we agree everything politically, how certain things are being played out and all the rest? No, at times, of course not. I wouldn't want to be in Bibi Netanyahu's shoes at all. There are a lot of criticism why didn't they just go in hard in regard to Gaza from day one and just deal with it? Because we sadly are seeing brave men and women dying in that situation. Let's just remind ourselves, and this is my, this is my personal opinion. Those brave young men and women, they're not just fighting for Israel, they're fighting for you and I, because this is in regard to civilization, in regard to turning around saying, the acts that happened were beyond barbaric. They were disgusting. They're indescribable. And when the human beings are treated as literal meat, when you've got from the Nova Festival and the attack there. Now, am I do I want to see Gaza bombed to bits? In many ways, of course, what is unfolding, it's at times it's deeply tragic. However, when you've got a society that is teaching its children to hate Jews, etc., educating on all of this. Mm-hmm. Now, from day one, a very brave guy came out, brilliant, all his research talked about this. There are many things as this war has gone on and on and on that we have, that people have forgotten about. Personally, as I've said earlier in the other half, they need to go in very strong, and I think that's what's beginning to happen, and deal with this. In regard to, we need to, I'm just going to quickly mention the Houthis.
Yes.
This is really, really important. Mm-hmm. So the Houthis need to be dealt with, and dealt with extremely firmly.
Mm-hmm.
If we've got a situation where they're, you know, the odd rocket has gone before Ben Gurion. Now, again, you know, Trump is making a comment to the Houthis, you know, stop that, or there's you're not going to fire on American ships or anything like that.
He should have expanded that to Israel.
They are then throwing missiles into Israel, and Israel needs to deal with them. It's incredible that all of the borders, you know, there are seven or eight fronts, including the propaganda war, that they are fighting all at the same time.
Okay, I want to, because we're down to about 2 minutes here, and I want to get your impression on where you think we're going to go from here. And I'm not holding you to it, okay, but I'd just like to get your idea. Number one, do you think that Trump and Netanyahu are still close, or are we seeing a divide there? And the second half of the question is, the Israelis, do you believe that this stuff is going to come to an end? Are we going to get a little bit of a break, or is this the beginning of the end, basically?
I think they are going into Gaza. Personally, I think they're going to go into Gaza and deal with it. I think Trump just wants, it's like saying, Bibi, you've got a free hand. You've got a free hand to lead your nation. Please get on with this.
Good.
On the other hand, there are people that know far more than me that think that Bibi is waiting because he's trying to get another hostage deal. There is a lot of things that are playing about, but on the other hand, you could say, Do we have a Saul, or do we now need a David?
Yes.
I say that respectfully.
Amen.
To get in there and deal with it quickly.
Okay. Well, you know, the times are coming clearer, much more clear. If you haven't picked up a Bible yet, please do. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that. All you got to do is just let the Lord know that you are a sinner, that you ask for forgiveness, that you know that Jesus Christ is his son, that he died for you, that he rose again, and he's coming back. And before the big battle, we're all going to get out of here in that moment called the rapture, and we hope to see you at that time. Mark, thank you so much for again being a part of the show. Look forward to you again, and until next time, good night and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.